Let's look again at the condition of the body of Christ, an aspect of we've been sharing about one of the things that we believe that the Lord has said to us to minister in this facet, to pull us from a certain condition. And if you look in 1 Samuel again, the 22nd chapter, it will give us some insight on the condition, the overall condition of the body of Christ, which should not be. So, as I was talking to my minister friend or my pastor friend or my son today about this thing, we both laughed because we knew it was gone, because we never, neither one of us, we've been in ministry quite some time, heard the word prosperity revival. But the Lord gave it to me while I was teaching this. He said it's going to be a prosperity revival. And it's one of the things that the body of Christ need very badly. But you have to have a governor on this pursuit. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
And you have to have balance. You have to be balanced with it. But I want to acknowledge to you and say to you, you don't have to be afraid of it. If you're born again and you have the right ambition and the right desires, there's nothing wrong for you to speak your rights, claim your rights, and walk in your rights. Amen?
Amen.
God wants all of his children to be prosperous. He stated over and over and over again in the Bible. Now, we know prosperity consists of more than just money, but money has been the problem in the body of Christ. So God gave me these prophetical words, I believe, because of the results, because of the results we're seeing in the United States, in our portion of life in the United States, and even in foreign countries, in large ministries who have been established even before we started preaching. These words have had an impact to bring financial gain into existence, that these ministries can do a more wide scope job of the kingdom business. And we watched this for a few months or for a year or so, and then we came to the conclusion that God wants us to share this message of money cometh to the body of Christ. Now, in 1 Samuel 22, money cometh, I got this today, money cometh also mean, or also carry out a certain action. It activates the power to cause money to come. It activates the power to cause money to come to you by using those words, money cometh. And you know, I know we have to be real balanced in this teaching. You know, you have people go off and get, say you're doing something else, and you know, they say you're just after money. And the devil, he'll make a lot of noise about that because he don't want our hands on it, so he'll go to coming up with some false ideas and some false accusation and say that's all we am and after money. But we teach a lot of things here, but at this meeting, it's on money. Notice in 1 Samuel, I think this verse creates a definition of a lot of people who were even in the word of faith. They have a false type of prosperity, a false type of financial stability. And it's time for us to get rid of this thing and be real. In this 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Now, this second verse is a good description of over 75%, I would say, I want to go higher, of the body of Christ. Three words here. And everyone that was in distress, that's one word, and debt, and being broke, and can't meet the need of your family, and the church can't move out with the gospel, it bring distress. And everyone that was in debt, that's another thing that need to be dealt with. Being in so much debt, you can't breathe. You can't even think straight. It just caused problems. And everyone that was discontented, that's another thing, discontentment. gathered himself unto him, David that is, and he became a captain over them. Now, and he's talked about that with about 400 men. If I had time to teach on that, the reason they gathered around David, David had the Spirit of the Lord upon him. And when you read in 2 Corinthians 4:13, when it talks about the spirit of faith, it makes reference back to the psalm which was talking about David. And that spirit of faith had the capability of breaking that distress and that debt and that discontentment over those 400 men. Finally, those 400 men came out. They were great men. They were no longer in debt, no longer in distress, no longer discontented, because they stayed around this man with the spirit of faith. And he finally walked them out by experience and letting them see how he lived, and probably taught them how to come out from under that bondage. Debt, being broke, not able to meet your need is a bondage. Amen? And we want to deal with it. Now we also look into the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, which we want to look again tonight. The 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, we want to look there again. And I'll give you a subject after a while. We're going to talk about a little different aspect of it tonight. I've been enjoying this. And that 18th verse, oh well, we should read the 17th verse, because the two complement each other or contrast each other or give us some insight on what we shouldn't do and what we should do and how it should happen, how it shouldn't happen. In the 17th verse, and thou say in thine heart, 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, my power, now that's where the problem come in, and the might of mine hand has gotten me this wealth. See, that's where the problem come in. That's where covetousness come in. And that's where the curse come in. But he goes on to say, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power. And I like this, power to get wealth. He didn't say he give you wealth. He'll give you power to get wealth. And he tell you why. That he may establish his what?
Covenant.
I can't hear you.
Covenant.
Which he swear unto thy father as it is this day. Now I want to read some more scriptures tonight, because we're going to deal with the curse, covetousness, and covenant in some ways tonight. To know the difference between the curse, know the difference between covetousness and the covenant. Now the curse is exactly, turn to Matthew chapter 6. The curse is just flat-footed Satan got his hand on us and want to keep us down. Now even then, the covetousness is a man going after wealth or after money just to hoard it for his own self or for himself. And covenant is the power God gives to an individual to receive financial freedom, that individual may be blessed and may be a blessing. God told Abraham, I'll bless you and I'll make you a blessing. And when you're walking under the covenant, you'll be blessed and you become a blessing. Amen?
Amen?
So you see, you got to understand the difference. If you're going to have balance and you're going to have people who try to hold you back from walking in prosperity, you got to understand what the curse is. You got to understand what covetousness is. And you have to understand what covenant is. I repeat myself because I want to get it out clear. The curse is just under Satan bondage and under the fallen condition of mankind, not under the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
Now most Christians live like that because of not having a revelation of how to get from under that bondage, or get from under that curse, get from under that pressure, or get from under that distress and discontentment. Covetousness is the thing that have held Christians in bondage, because they believe, because people become to a certain level in financial blessing and they're Christian, they believe that they're out of the will of God. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
That's the backward side of the thing. They have taught us that.
Yeah.
Now God in his covenant said he'd give us power to get well.
Yeah.
Now in Matthew, I want to deal with a few things tonight. I believe there'll be eye-openers to us. Because I'm going to read two detrimental scriptures to the body of Christ by not knowing really what they mean, and have held them in bondage. People use these scriptures to augur poverty. Christian preachers, they augur poverty with you and say, listen, this is why you should not, don't believe God for too much. You don't need too much because money will cause you to sin. Now, I know a lot of broke folk. I know folk don't have no money. They're sinning and sneaking and doing everything. Broke. I say, well, they ought to have money if that's what money caused you to do.
Yeah.
Don't you know some broke folks in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're sinning right now. So, you know, they just have to have money to sin. You almost sin on credit. There's such a thing, you know. You won't sin. You know, but in Matthew 6:24, there we go. Jesus said this, no man can serve two masters. Well, we're not planning on serving two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, God and money. Now, money in itself has no power by itself. Money is neither evil or good. Money is what the person who has it make it. And I believe I can have plenty and make it right. Amen. And get the gospel out and pay my tithes and help needed people and help evangelize the world. And when they say they need $6,000 to go send somebody to China, I want to be able to raise my hand and say, take me for one. See, money is only an exchange in power here in the natural realm. But you know, I'll probably talk about it sometime next week. But when the glory come, the glory and gold come at the same time. If you don't believe it, take a look at heaven. Heaven is full of his glory, but heaven also is full of gold. And just think about it, if the glory would come in a strong manifestation, and tomorrow we have 3,000 new members, gold better come with it, because we need some room. I don't know where the body of Christ got that and separated glory from gold, but glory and gold on the earth realm go together. When the glory come, the gold come. See, you know, your religious brain say, I like the glory, but I don't want to talk too much about the gold. See, you got to change that. Glory and gold go together. Wherever God is pleased and send his glory, you can look out, the gold coming right behind it.
Amen.
We'll get into that sometime in next week. But he said, no man can serve two masters. How many of y'all have heard that verse before?
Yeah.
And you know, in certain denominations, they read that. And they read that and trying to look at you kind of funny and say, you know, you can't serve two masters. All right, turn in 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy. I haven't given you the subject yet, but I'll give it to you in a minute. Because we're going to talk for a few moments about this. 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is the next verse. Now, he said there, no man can serve two masters. You're talking about God and money. Well, nobody trying to serve God and money. If you got your heart straight, you're going to serve God with the money. Now, notice in the 10th verse here of this 1 Timothy 6. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Didn't say money was. It said for the love of money. Now, what we're going to talk about for a few minutes tonight is keying in on a God kind of prosperity. There's a worldly kind of prosperity which create covetousness, scheming, and any way they can get it. But then there's a godly kind of prosperity that God gave us the power to get wealth to have. Now, wealth actually means
being well provided for. Being well provided for. That's what, so God gave us power to be well provided for. But covetousness is based upon the world kind of prosperity. But there's a God kind of prosperity, and the church haven't heard that side. They haven't heard about the God kind of prosperity, the prosperity that God give you the power to get because he knew you're going to use it for his kingdom and use it for his work, and at the same time, be well provided for your family. Now, right here in 1 Timothy, it is revealed to us, as I read that text over and over again, the Spirit of God began to reveal to me the answers right here in this chapter. To stop the believer from being afraid of money, being afraid to believe God for money, or being afraid to have money to the aspect to believe that that money gonna cause evil to come on. Now, I want to back up and just read some. I'm going to show you worldly prosperity in this chapter, and I'm going to show you godly prosperity. And I'm going to show you how they've been intermingling and mixing up covetousness with covenant and causing us not to tap into what we're supposed to tap into. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Now, notice in 1 Timothy 6, I'll begin reading at the third verse. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to what kind of word? Wholesome word. What kind of words are they? Right words. Consent not to right word. Wholesome word. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is called into to godliness. So he's talking about someone who would not consent to wholesome word. Well, that's not you. Amen. He talking about someone who will not consent to wholesome word, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or my goodness, we with the Lord, aren't we?
Yeah.
I say it.
Yeah.
We with the Lord.
Yeah.
So this is not talking about us. And to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Well, we believe in the doctrine of godliness. We believe in living right as Christian, don't we? All right, now, let's keep on thinking now. Listen, he is proud. Knowing nothing. But darting about questions and strifes of word. Well, that's not us. See, you got the right to divide the word. Whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmising. Keep listening now. Perverse, disputing of men of corrupt minds. You know, we're headed to that voice where the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
And destitute of the truth. Well, is that you?
No.
Do you have some truth in you?
Yes.
Is your mind all corrupted? You got a corrupted mind?
No.
Are you against the doctrine of Christ? Now, this description is a description of one who would become covetous. Listen at it. Verse 5. Perverse, disputing of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Well, we know better than that. I know money can't make me walk with God properly.
Amen.
I know I have to be led by the Spirit of God. I know money can't take the place of my prayer time.
Amen.
And my worship and my praise and my fellowship and my intimacy with God.
Amen.
I know I can't come to the altar with $300 and put it on the altar and tell God what to do. Don't you?
Yeah.
We know better than that.
Yeah.
Well, he says here, then he goes on to explain, but godliness with contentment is great gain. I agree with that. But I could be just as contented with money as I could be without money.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, more contented. I have been contented without it. serve God with all my heart. But I found out in His Word I didn't have to be without. So I stayed contented, didn't change that, and kept my godliness, but added something to it. And I tell you, life much better. Amen. As long as I'm going to be in this world, I just want to have a good life. So I added some money to my godliness and my contentment, and I tell you, the three go good together.
Hallelujah.
Are you seeing this thing? See, person take that, say, you know, they're thinking that the Spirit of God is saying, no, you just be godly, have godliness, and be content being broke. Or, listen to this, be content being under the curse. Just waste Jesus' blood. Stay at the bottom. See, that's not what he's saying. He was saying here, you know, if you're going to have a corrupt mind and you're going to turn to be destitute of the truth and you're going to be perverted and all those things, he said, you know, you need to learn a lesson about godliness and contentment. Can you see it? Let's go on. But godliness with contentment is great, with contentment is great gain. Well, I'm not going to let nothing separate me from the love of God. There's not enough money and gold in the world, because I know money and gold is a temporary thing. When you got the Spirit of God and the Word of God on the inside of you, you can handle every dollar come to you properly. You manage, you be the master of money. Money not the master of you. It, most people who really after money is the poor folks who don't have it. Do anything for it. Go to scheming. Prostitutes. Do anything for money. Degrade themselves. Then he goes on to say, for we brought nothing into this world. Well, I ain't planning on taking no money with me. But I'm planning on leaving something for my seed. Because the Bible told me so. Amen? I told my wife, if I go ahead of her, don't spend no extra money on me. I know they're going to want to have a big doo-doo. But don't spend no extra money on me. I don't need to bring that pastor on up the front. I don't need no extra money. Spent on me. Keep that money and spend it on her and her other husband. Hallelujah. I won't know nothing about it. Well, you couldn't say that. See, y'all, I'll kill him. You ain't gonna kill nobody. You already dead. You can't do nothing about it. For we brought, 1 Timothy 6 and 7, for we brought nothing in this world. And it is certain we can carry nothing out. Now, you know what he's talking about. He's trying to make correction to those people who don't understand the right way to handle money. Covetous people. He's not talking to covetous people here, because covetous people are not stupid. You know you're not bringing nothing to the grave with you, don't you? I hope you know it. Don't you, how many of y'all know that you're not taking nothing to the grave with you? How many of y'all know your family not going to stuff your money with pocket when you die? Your pocket with money. How many of y'all know that? We know that. So he can't be talking to us about this covenant about we brought nothing in the world, nothing we're going to carry out. Sure we know. I know that. I know that a long time ago. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation. They that who will be rich for the wrong purposes and has the wrong attitude about money and the wrong motive about money will fall into temptation, because they will scheme and connive and do anything they can to get their hand on a dollar. Don't you know something? So those are the type of people who fall in temptation and a snare. How many can see that now? Come on with me here. See, because we're working down to the love of money. Money within itself is not evil. Money has no life in it. The individual who have the money determine what kind of life the money going to produce. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now notice this. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. Well, that couldn't be according to Deuteronomy 18. Because if it is, the Lord is a partner in causing us to fall into lust. He said he gave us power to get wealth, that he might establish his covenant on earth. And if that power caused us to go into lust, well, the Lord is a partner to lust. The two have to be different. It has to be two different type of prosperity, two different type of richness that we're talking about. One is a worldly type, do anything to get it. The other one is to come in agreement with God, agreement with his covenant, want to see this gospel preached. And God doesn't mind you being wealthy. Just like God doesn't mind you being healthy. See, we had to plow some field to get you from being sick. Oh, I remember when I first started preaching my healing sermon. Man, and people look at me, well, I got my sickness now. What you talking about here now? You've taught me to keep my sickness now. What you talking about? Yeah, you come, you young whippersnapper, you're not even wet behind the ears. Now you talking about everybody's supposed to be healed and well. I've been having my sickness for 15 years, been serving the Lord with my sickness. And now you come talking about healing. See, that was new. I remember when I first started teaching here? Boy, my members look at me like a bullfrog just come out of windstorm. Say, now look, you're not going to take my sickness. You're not going to take my high blood pressure. And it's funny now, but it was a new introduction when I got a hold of the word of faith. Look, Louisiana was free of healing. To a large degree, down in deep south, you know. We didn't know nothing about no healing. So people look at you like, say, well, now, I'll go along. A nice young man. But, you know, you got to have something. And see, that's the way you thought because that's all you had been taught. Now I'm talking about prosperity. Now I tell you, you don't have to be in debt. You don't have to be in distress. You don't have to be in discontentment. You don't have to have all those bills. You can be free and have plenty of money in your pocket and be a blessing to the other one. God wants you rich. God wants you wealthy. And then I sound like a pioneer again. You know, you look at me and say, yeah, that's good, Pastor, but my God, you got to have some kind of brokenness. You know what I'm saying? See, that's what the devil trying to bring in when this come. It's almost sound too good to be true, but it is true. See, there's a, don't need to say it, just sense it. There's a God kind of prosperity. And there's a worldly type prosperity. And when the Bible goes to talking about riches and talking about men going after it wrong, that's not the God kind. That's the worldly kind. He's showing us, don't go this route. You don't have to connive for it. You don't have to lust after it. I don't lust after it. I don't waste and wink or sleep by no money. Money cometh. Money come ring my doorbell. And say, here I am. Go to bed, go to sleep. Get up and praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See? You see, in those two words, it didn't say nothing about you go to money. It says money cometh. And I mean, it's a direct quote of Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given to you, good and measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Can you see that? So you got to get your thinking. I talked about getting your thinking straight. You get that tape and listen to that right and wrong thinking about money. But notice this now again. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. That's rich without understanding the covenant. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Well, that happened to broke people too, but that happened to men who go after money the world way. All these business deals. Be scheming. More than business deals, they're scheming. Now you find some honest one. Thank God there's some honest one. But they got some men are getting money any way they can get it. Now we're down back to verse 10. We're going to go on the other side and find out about godly prosperity. Actually, I believe, or before, in making this correction, Paul making this correction to Timothy, I believe he was telling them about the wrong way. Then he got to the love of money in that way. See, you love money. I love God. God is my first love. And no money in the world can make me leave God. You? But that don't mean I'm going to separate myself from money, because God want me to have money, because he want me to support this gospel, because the only means of exchanging this gospel in this world is that we have some pipeline for it to go through, and the pipeline will not go by a man. Praise the Lord. You need some money. We have these marriage workshops. We go to these places and want to have Christian function. The girl has to negotiate about money. We travel. These pastors have traveled here. And what they did, when they got on those planes, the people wanted some ticket. They wanted some money. They didn't get on a praise plane hollering, hallelujah, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. What seat I got? For God so loved the world. Man said, look where your ticket at. Everybody say money.
Money
is not evil.
The love of
money
is evil.
I need some money. And I will have it.
Money
cometh.
I have it now.
Say that.
I have it
now. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted, that is now, coveted after. No, why some covenant after? Coveted after. Coveted after. Look at that now. What they did after? I mean, what coveted mean? Greed, hoarded, run after, do anything to get it. Like Jacob. Jacob went to his brother, got real hungry. When he got almost to the house, Jacob said, all right, I'll give you some stew. Give me that birthright. See, the one who gets the birthright get all the inheritance, you know. Jacob was a rascal. And then Jacob and his mama played a trick on the daddy. The daddy's eyes were dim. They put a hair on his arm. And then he went in there and got his daddy to bless him. His daddy was blind. He thought it was the other boy. Scheming. He finally met God when he met that angel. And they wrestled. That wrestle that night, and Jacob said, I'm not going to train you to bless me. You know, but Jacob met his match when he went out to Lebanon, and he met his uncle. That man was scheming more than him. It was two schemers. See? Schemers always meet another schemer. But we are not covenant. We're not coveting after money. This subject is being taught because I believe the Spirit of God told me to teach it at this time. The body of Christ is broke. Over 75, I'm going up now to 85%. The body of Christ don't have a quarter. And that's sad. Yeah. You know, there are some of us tithing and getting along pretty good. Pretty good. That's not the covenant. Getting along pretty good is not the covenant. The Bible, Jesus said himself, I'm come. I wonder if that include material. I'm come that you might have life. And you might have it how? More abundantly, more than enough. Why would the Holy Ghost write Ephesians 3:20? Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according. Why would he write that if he didn't want us to have exceedingly, abundantly, above all that he asks or think? Listen, the body of Christ is broke. The body of Christ is in debt. We just as well face the reality and do something about it and get a hold of these messages of prosperity and rise up and take our rightful place and say that, look, we're going to have plenty money. You got to say it. I'm going to have plenty money. Money cometh to me without feeling guilty. Oh, guilt thing try to come on you when you talk. You know, I don't want that money. Now I want praise the Lord. Well, I can praise the Lord better. with my bills paid. I'm telling you, I prayed him both times. I loved him both times, but I love him more now. Yeah, I can love him more because he come through for me and he showed me how much he cares for me and he showed me his word. He want me to have it. You get tired being broke. Back to that check. Payday to payday. Put the bills on the table and shuffle them around. The one fall down if the three get paid. The other 14 gonna have to wait till another day. Now, I told you, you take me $40, $50. I don't care who getting paid. I'm getting me something out of here. I'm going to get me some ice cream. Get me going out and have me a little dinner somewhere. Folks, I didn't know how to get out, so I was like I was going to be like that the rest of my life, so I just want to have a little something. So we just get further and further behind. And MasterCard, boy, they rough. They had interest. Oh, look at me like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You be late with that bill. Now, let's go on the other side. Let's read, I'm going to read the 10th verse again. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after. Coveted after. They went after it through covetousness. See, did anything for it. And by doing that, it caused them to what? Error from the faith. Well, do you think tonight we erring from the faith? By talking about Deuteronomy? Go back, put your finger here. Go back to Deuteronomy 8. My goodness. Rightly dividing the word will set you free. Amen. Amen. Now notice in that 18th verse. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get well. Yes. Yes. Ain't nobody no covetousness. No. Say he give you power to get well, then he may establish his covenant. His covenant has something to do with wealth. You need wealth to get the covenant established. Can you see that, class? Yes. Now go back here, because I want to get to the end of this. The end of this to show you something. We looked on one side. I believe we looked on one side of that verse, the upper side. Let's call it the upper side, verse 10. We see people who going about it wrong. And we need to rightly divide. That's people going after wealth for the wrong thing and in the wrong way. See, they coveted after it, and it called them to error from the faith. And if you don't have banners teaching on the thing, you can go to confessing money and confessing money and confessing money and forget about God.
Yeah.
That's why in this prosperity revival, I have done my best to give you balance on it. So you could get have it in the right perspective, put it in the right place, and keep Jesus first.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, I've seen in our generation, ministers got hooked in this thing. And I knew, you know, and I don't want to talk too much because you go to figuring things out. But I knew they were going in error. I saw them after money. Every time they say something, every time a prophet come out, it was about money. Money out of your pocket in their pocket. And this kept prophet. They say one time a certain reverend was right, but he got away from it. Now he's the biggest false prophet on the scene of the earth today. You notice I didn't call his name. But he'd been around a while. And I'm told by a good minister that at one time he had his head screwed on right. But he got in error by just start preaching behind money, just going after money, 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 everything, money, money, money. 4 and 5 offering. Get the Holy Ghost, merchandise the anointing. Get the Holy Ghost moving. Now I can talk about this fellow who did. I was told that Jack Cole would get the Holy Ghost moving, and then right in the middle of the move, he stopped and received offering. Well, I see people excited, the Spirit of God moving, they'll give everything they got in their pocket. But that's not the way to do it. That's merchandising the anointing. But Jack died at what old he was, 39? 39, I believe he died. Real young. Power of God on his life. You can't merchandise the anointing for money. The anointing is not for sale. Amen? Are you following me? So we see here, listen here. One more time, I want to read this. For the love of money is the root of all evil. How many understand that now? Which while some coveted after, see, they was coveting it after it.
They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. When you go after money like that, that's what happened to you. But the money didn't do it. I tell you what, you can just have just as many sorrows being broke. I tell you, being broke can't pay your bills, pierce you with many sorrows. That's the truth. And continually being broke and broke, sometimes might cause you to err from the faith if somebody come along with some money and you don't know how to get it properly.
That's right.
Somebody come along with this good deal.
Yeah.
And you've been broke all your life.
Yeah.
And it sounds like a good deal. And they said, no, but you just got to do this a little shady. You say, I don't see nothing shady. Keep moving. I've been broke so long, I want me some money now. Somebody better tell the body of Christ the right way. Now, let's go on the other side. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou also called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickened all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going somewhere now, just to stick with me. Which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and only partner, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only has immortality, the world and in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now, we're going to go into the marks and requirement of godly prosperity here, right here in these verses. The mark and requirement of godly prosperity. We've looked at covetousness now. We're going to look at what it takes to walk in the covenant of prosperity. There are certain marks that you must bear, certain marks you must understand, certain steps you must take. It says here, and if you had to read this verse to get it, charge them that are rich in this world. Now, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. One of the marks, if you're going to get covenant blessing, is refrain from being high-minded. High-mindedness will take you into pride, and you will not use the finances properly for the kingdom of God. So the first mark, if you're going to go ahead and achieve godly prosperity, you know, Paul said in Romans 12:3, when he's talking about faith, God have dealt to every man the measure of faith, but let no man think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Can you handle money and not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think? You know, the blessings that I have this day, that the Lord has placed on my life this day, I couldn't handle it 10 years ago. Probably 5 years ago I couldn't handle it. So if you don't pass the test, see, God bring everybody through a chain of tests before you can get there. And if you don't pass the test, you take the grade over. Some of y'all been in third grade for 15 years. You got to take the grade over. I'm telling you, when you rise up in life with material gain, you better be hooked up to the man. Because that material stuff will go to talking to you. Look who you are. You got to tell it, shut up. I am who he say I am. And you're going to give glory to him, not me. And the average individual right now, you can't, unless you come through a chain of command, you're not going to be able to handle it. I tell you, most of you all are not, haven't got there yet because you're not ready yet. And the Lord is in this thing getting you ready. See, you think, that's a confession. Don't say that. Don't say I'm not ready. You don't have it. Something to hold up. Let's find out what the hold up is. You follow what I'm saying? Don't get angry with me. Don't tell me I'm not ready. Well, how long you been ready? You follow what I'm saying? So I want to deal with the reality of the thing to tell you where you are, starting now believing God and taking it step by step
and he's going to try you with certain things. He may try you with the $15 and tell you to do the same thing with it. If you can't handle $15, you can't handle $15,000. Now, here's the negotiating factor of the whole matter. You got the $15. You said, Lord, I don't have much. No, but you have him as your provider. So go ahead on listen to him and do what he tell you to do with the $15. The man is trying to move you to the next ladder. If he gives you more than you can handle, you're going to become covetous and you're going to turn your life over to Satan. And you know, you say, well, I can handle it. Well, get $20,000 tomorrow and see what you bring $2,000 here. You remember here, get $20,000 tomorrow. You get to shuffling with that $20,000, you know, and you get to living. Man, $2,000, I ain't, listen to what you're going to say. I ain't giving a rep no $2,000. He don't need it. You know, you're supposed to bring it to the church. You're not giving it to the rep. See, just inherit $40,000 tomorrow and bring $4,000 here. It's just, you know, just easy. That's it. Oh, $4,000? Oh, yeah, $4,000. Man, you get behind them closed doors, your heart not right. Then you, boy, you bring $400, boy, and you put that, and then you want to go in my office to put the $400. You don't want to put in the basket. I got to talk with you about it, you know. And got to show you greater appreciation for robbing God. Now listen to me. Let's judge ourselves right now. Say tomorrow. Now I can speak for Leroy. Say I come in the $50,000 tomorrow. How much God put to get fired? He got it. Brother, he got it. I mean, he got it so fast. I want it out the house. Out of here. Get the Lord money. Now, if you come in, don't answer me. You come in the $50,000 tomorrow. Now, you might not be a member of this church, but whatever member of your church, every church your membership is, you're supposed to bring $5,000. Now, everybody can say, all right, amen, hallelujah, now. You know, but if you had the $50,000, I want you to see yourself with that $50,000. See, because if you get the $50,000, it's not going to do you any good if you don't do what's right with it. Just the other night, standing right here, I don't know if she's here tonight, young lady walked up here. She said, brother, if I'd heard this just a little while ago, she said, I came into a great inheritance. Multitudes of dollars. Thousands of dollars. She said, I blew it all. She didn't know nothing about tithing. She didn't know nothing about good. She said, the only thing I got left to show for it, she said, about to take my house that I'd inherit. And she said, I got a new car. That's all I got to show for it. If I just would have had this message when I had all that money. She had $1,000. Her mama left her a lot of money. She blew it all. Don't have a quarter. She stood right here and just weep. Say, I don't have a quarter. You see what I mean? Yeah. Now, I've had members of this church give me the money. I've had members of this church give $10,000, $15,000. Just give it. I never talked to them. No one can ever say I try to entice them about any finances for this church because that's not godly. And I knew they had come into some money. I never asked them how much they had there, even though they say, you know, I got your check stub. You got to bring it in. You never say that on y'all? You got a check stub, you got to know, you know. But I never asked them about how much they received from. Some called me and said, Pastor, you know, I came into so much money. How do I give my tithe? I said, just put it in the basket. You know. But can you do it? See, you know, some of y'all got the answer no. You couldn't do it, so you're not ready yet. I know some of y'all got the answer no. You just couldn't do it because you got the $25 now and you're not giving $250. That's easy to judge, isn't it? Or you're making $200 or $500 a week, you're not giving $50. That's easy to judge if you're not giving $50 off of $500, whatever it is. $500, 10%, yeah. If you're not giving that, you get $5,000, you're not going to give it. You say you would give it. But your heart know you're lying. You're lying to your heart. So the first mark, in godly prosperity, you can't be high-minded. You see? Now, when I ride down the street, I tell you, and I know I'll get over my driver Mercedes, new Mercedes, I speak to everybody I see. I speak to people who don't speak to me. I wave. I want to make sure they know I'm not acting up. You know, I just wave. Sometimes I meet the car and I hold my hand up. Just wave as I go. Because there's no, the car don't make me. I make it. Could you stay down on the earth if God bless you and do the Father's work? Can't be high-minded. What you say? Amen. Can you stand it?
Yes.
See, the Lord have no problem with you having it, and it's here for you to have, but you have to pass the test.
Yes.
Then we go on. Let's find something else here in this market. This charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded. The second mark is not trust in uncertain riches. See, money uncertain. It go up and down, the value of it. Trust in uncertain riches. No, my trust is in the Lord. The Bible said, trust in the Lord with all in the heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. Well, you know he can acknowledge, you can acknowledge him with money and without money. And do you know if you acknowledge him with money, he can do more for you with money than without money? Because you can acknowledge him and he can show you some way and direction to use that money for his glory and for your own personal need. I can trust in the Lord just as good with money as I could without money. I don't need to be broke to pray. I pray not broke. With diligence. I pray over an hour a day. Got to pray if I'm going to pastor this church. Amen. You can't pastor this church with money. Amen. You follow what I'm saying? Now he says, don't trust in uncertain riches. Not trust. That's another mark. See, now if you can pass this test, if you can say, Lord, all right, I'm through the high-mindedness. And then I'm not going to trust in uncertain riches. See, because when people get a little wealth, earthly wealth, sometimes they turn their back on everybody. They become what you call snobbish creatures. But in the living God. So one of the things you have to do when you come to financial prosperity is continue to trust in the living God and not let your trust go over to that money. Now, when he said trust in the living God, that means you're still going to serve him. You're still going to work in the ministry of help. You mean tell me I got $240,000 and you want me to work in the ministry of help? Usher! And then the way you talk to people sometime, I got $200,000, I ain't letting you handle me like that. You don't know who I am. I'll buy you, your poor thing. That's the way people talk when they get money, you know. I've seen guys with $40 in their pocket thought they owned the world. Said they'll buy everything. They couldn't go for it. All right, so trust in the living God. Now, know this. Know that God gives us, that God gives us, you in the verse?
Yes.
What's the next word?
Richly.
What?
Richly.
God giveth us richly. I want you to get that. God giveth us what?
Richly.
Richly. What richly mean? Plentiful? Well, these two things can't go together, richly and enjoy. Got to be poor and enjoy. I mean, because you'd be sinning if you have richly and enjoy. And you sat at your dining room table and had the entree and the salad and all that, and you didn't have to go credit at the store. You remember, we used to go out in the store. I saw a man in the store one time. They credit grocery. My old people used to do it. Great credit, and then they signed the paper. And that man used to cheat them. You get 2 pounds of flour, he charge you 5 pounds. You know, credit grocery. Any of y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Don't sit there like y'all been having cash all your life.
Yeah.
Some of y'all still might be crediting it. They got them stores, them corner stores, they'll do it.
Yeah.
How many of y'all ever credit grocery? I know your family credit grocery. Y'all won't hold your hand up now. But hallelujah, thank God.
Yeah.
Wasn't it wonderful to go through the supermarket? And most of y'all can't do it now. And I'm doing it to crank you, you know, to get you. Go through the supermarket, just put what you want in the basket.
Yeah.
You know, I see some people in there calculating. I remember my son one time, they told the lady he had to go back, put some of the stuff back. Now, I don't like that. I tell you what, I don't know the price of them item. When I go to the store, I want plenty of money in my pocket.
I don't want no foolish. When I put that basket up there, that basket going through the line.
Yeah.
So, you know, my wife said, you don't need that money. I said, give me some more money. Because when I get there, I don't want no, I'll never tell me go back. I want some money in my pocket. I don't care. If I see something I want it in that basket.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest with y'all. See, see, preachers think you got to hide all this. And preachers don't lead people right. You didn't bless me. The Lord brought me to this point. God is my soul because I've been faithful over 20 years to his word and to his ministry. And you, my brother, watched me 20 years be faithful to this thing. And the Lord told me to tell the body of Christ, he wants the same thing for every one of you all. You don't have to be no big person. Just be faithful to tithes and offering and doing what God tell you with what you have. And you'll find yourself rising up. Bless God. Hallelujah. I said, bless God, hallelujah. You, yeah, yeah, you'll find yourself. You'll wake up one morning in another world. Bless God, those trials and hard troubles about finances are over. Hallelujah, glory to God, bless God. Hey! Yeah, I preach myself happy. You know, trusting God. Not in uncertain riches. See, these are some of the mockers. He said, look, but in the living God, can you read? Who giveth us richly all things to what? To enjoy. Say everybody say enjoy.
Enjoy.
Say it again.
Enjoy.
Say it again.
Enjoy.
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 My goodness. I said, my goodness. To enjoy. You know what enjoy mean? Enjoy mean enjoy. Sit there and laugh. When the holidays come, Christians ought to be able to enjoy holidays. Shouldn't it? Man, I like Thanksgiving week. My wife would tell you, oh, that week, I don't work on that week. Thanksgiving week, I won't be around. I won't smell something too. My wife got to put something, just put something in, put some root in it so I can smell it. All during the week, I like Thanksgiving week. I don't know, I just like it. All you know, I don't be here too much. I pray all y'all be well and healed on Thanksgiving week. Yeah. Amen. I know I'm going to heaven, but I believe God wants me to enjoy life here.
Amen.
You too. Amen.
Amen.
And we begin to do the thing God said, give us richly all things, Helen, to enjoy. To enjoy. And then sinners be enticed to come to God's way. When they see you blessed and they see you enjoying life and praising God, they want to know what kind of God you serve. And you can even tell them about Jesus made me what I am. And no, you know, you've been a Christian for 25 years and don't have nothing in the earth to show for it. And then you're talking about what a El Shaddai, Jehovah, Jireh, God you serve. Well, you know them sinners hear you and they get back. I said, you must be a fool. El Devil better than El God. He, sure, I'm doing better than him.
Yeah.
A sinner shouldn't hold water with a believer.
On
earth or anything else, shouldn't hold water. Over a protracted period of time,
right.
You ought to bring that sinner to open shame.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, Al, I give dope pushers a headache.
Yeah.
Man, I got them confused. They think I'm pushing dope, but I'm pushing the word.
Yeah.
I got them, they got a headache. They don't, see, dope pushers, I mean, when dope, I pay a dope pusher to do this. They bow. They think I'm the king of the dope. You got to be selling dope. No. I got some inside information. I found out about my covenant, and I stuck with my covenant, and I held fast to my conviction, and I live holy and clean. God will raise you up like that. Bless God. He want every child of God. He want our needs met and above our needs. God want us to have abundance. Good God, he want to pay your bill and have money left over. I'm talking about money.
Yes.
Yes, God, the love of money is the root of all evil. I don't love money. I love God, and money cometh.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Boy, I'm pretty self happy, Larry. Yeah, man. It's just too long. They just hold ourselves back. Talking about I'm black or white and all this different stuff. Don't make no difference what color you are. If you get a hold of God and become a covenant man and a covenant woman and do the thing God tell you to do, no weapon formed against you is your prosper. Nobody can hold you down. Hallelujah.
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 Say debt.
Loose me.
In the name of Jesus.
Name of
I'm coming out.
I'm coming out.
Whoa, Masamana Shokla Masala. Yeah. The Lord said he want to show himself strong on your behalf. If you let him. Praise God. Glory to God. Those who let me do it, I'll do it swiftly. Says the Lord, they'll be out before they know it. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Yield to my spirit. Yield to my word. Yield to my will. Yield to my way. And you'll see just what I say. My goodness. Hallelujah. So I believe we're coming out. I believe God appointed this prosperity. I believe he appointed for this pastor. I tell you, I believe that you're getting a hold of this thing this week and next week. We're going to talk about the God of abundance next week. And I believe that every person who have a listening ear and an ear to hear, finally, now take step. Take steps. Step by step. You have to stick with it. But and then find God bringing you out. And you owe no man anything but to love him. My goodness in heaven, my God in heaven. I tell you, boy, I used to rock when I was broke. I rock now and I'm not broke. The rocker chair rock better. I'm just sharing you the truth. You know, some people get mad and say, oh, preacher, I'm not giving him nothing. He's just bragging. No, I'm reporting. I'm reporting for God. That's all I'm doing. I'm giving a godly report. That God will do it for you if you let him. I'm not bragging on me. My God, I'll still be broke. I had two jobs and couldn't get a catch up. But God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Got that old devil by the neck. He wants to keep us under the curse. But we're under a covenant. Christ has redeemed us from the curse. Say, money cometh.
Money cometh.
To me.
To me.
Money cometh.
Money cometh.
Money cometh.
Money cometh.
Hallelujah. Bible says the Spirit of God said to me, money cometh to the body of Christ. We're going to build big, beautiful buildings and have sinners to run in and get baptized and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and plant big old flowers and pretty things and let them see the glory of God on earth. Now notice, let's close with this. Glory to God. You know, I want to talk about Abe a little bit tonight. I'll talk about Abe some Monday night, but the Bible says Abe was very rich. Not rich, very rich. And a man tried to give Abe some money, and Abe said, I'm not going to let you contaminate my prosperity. Now when you get prosperous, you got to watch who's giving to you. Get the prosperity there. Somebody will come and contaminate your prosperity. They want to say they did it for you. You got to watch who you receive from. Now, some people I don't receive from. You don't know that. But some people I don't let give me nothing. No, I say, no, not right now. Boy, you got quiet there, didn't you? Yeah. Yeah, certain people you can't receive from because they're trying to put something on you. And you know who they are. Say, oh, no, but I'm all right. Amen. No, you can't get there. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Everybody has got a hand on you. See, you can't be like a little boy in the net. You got to watch all the time. When God is raising you up, you got to watch. Some people cut your prosperity off. That's pretty hot, isn't it? Yeah, but the truth. Now, let me see that I close the scripture. But the living God who giveth all us richly all things to enjoy. Now, listen to this. This is what you got to do when you come to this land. That they do good. Just another mark of godly prosperity. You're willing to do good. That they may be rich in good works. Another mark. Rich in good works. Ready. Ready. What ready mean? Ready. Ready at all time. Ready. Everybody say ready.
Ready.
Ready to what? Distribute. What that mean? Ready to give. Ready to give. See, you got to stay on. Now, when you got God money in your pocket, when it's really God money, you got to be ready to give it up at any time to anybody he tell you to. So you can't go around blessing who you want to bless. Blessing folks who don't have no socks on and look like their coat falling off. You know, and you're real proud about that. You bless somebody with their coat falling off. That's not really the person the Lord might want to give it to. That person might have a reason for that coat falling off. Can you see that? Ready to give. Let's say that. Ready to give.
Ready to give.
And he repeats himself, willing to communicate. Now we got to, I've been teaching about an hour and 10 minutes. Go back to the 6th chapter of Matthew and we'll close. Let me look at the 6th chapter of Matthew here for a minute. When they said no man should serve two masters, can serve two masters. I won't go back to the 6th chapter of Matthew. Keen in on the God kind of prosperity. Now those marks I give you, ready to give and not being high-minded. What else did I tell you? What? Don't trust uncertain riches. See, those things you got, those are marks you got to have if you're going to go ahead on into the godly kind, God kind of prosperity. You can't be high-minded. See? So the Lord had to find out, are you there before he let you go up the ladder? First of all, we didn't know to a certain degree. You know, we knew something. And then secondly, I believe in this prosperity revival, everybody going to find out something they didn't know. Including me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, let's go to you at the 6th chapter of Matthew. I'm trying to close. And it don't have to be holy, falling out, jumping and running every night. Like we need to get some instruction. Notice verse 25. I just want to read this. Matthew 6. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you should eat, what you should drink, nor yet for your body, what you should put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, sinners. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now notice verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, this scripture does not mean that you don't tell the Father. Other scriptures will tell you the Father know what you need, but he wants you to ask for it. But the point here is that you keep the kingdom of God first. Now, any of you who here, Rob is here tonight. I talked about him last night. He told me that testimony. He don't know if it was a confirmation of what God had said in my spirit. Any one of you who are a member of this church, you're not a tither. I'm going to challenge you to tithe for 90 days. If you don't see some result in 90 days, come back and get your money back. as a money-back guarantee. Come get it all back. If you done put $14,000 in, come get it back. We got it. Give it right back to you. Robert said in his testimony, I think he said within 3 days or 3 weeks, whatever, 3 days or 3 weeks. 3 months. They said 3 months, but when you saw changes? About a month. That pastor challenged him. And see, God had told me that earlier, but I said it wasn't God. I said, I ain't going to tell nobody that. Then Robert, him and I stand talking, he said, you know, my pastor, that's how I got the tithe. You need to give God 10%. You can't pass that test. You're not going to pass no confession test. Now, those of you who are not a tither, you need to be prayed for. I'm going to pray for you right now. Because the devil got a hold of you. And he got a hold of your finances. And you think you're doing good, but you're not doing good. Father, I thank you that every person in here has a listening ear. And matter of fact, open your heart where you can see clearly the things that I have provided for you. Yield not to the voice of the evil one, but yield to my spirit, because it is I who desire to bring you out. Yeah, yield to my spirit this very night. Yield to my way, yield to my will, yield to my word, and those yokes, and those bondage and those burdens that you're carrying will be gone forever. It is my desire that you walk freely in the yoke with me, for my yoke is easy and my burdens, they are light. Now, Father, yeah, man, close up. You know, my seat, I'm serious, Kendall, I'm saying, do not give where men are able to see you. Give in secret, and I will reward you openly. Ha 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 ha. Blansike, Bronsico, Emma, there's a change coming over your situation. Yield to the spirit of truth. Yield to the direction as you're led by the spirit, and you begin to live like you never thought you could live. For it's my desire for you to give and live. Give and live. Oh, my goodness. Give and live. Keep and go deeper. Keep and go deeper. Deeper into the darkness of this world snare. Deeper into the darkness of this world glare. Deeper, deeper, deeper. Give and live, says the Spirit of the Lord. Move from that position that you inherit and move up into your inheritance, says the Lord. For I have provided for you to have, ha ha ha, in such an abundance, it'll flow over. And others around you, as Abram, will be blessed because they're around you, says the Lord of hosts. Hot mind. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, Lord. I know. Thank you so much. I sense the need. I sense the hurt and the pain and the distress. But good, yeah, I know, Lord, good people. Oh, but good is not good enough. They need to know your instruction. They need to yield to your will. Yield to your plan. Yeah, some will leave early because of being disobedient, because I cannot fully give them their inheritance to its fullness, because they will not yield my spirit to my spirit. I'm fighting for them, but it's not by fright or fear that I want them to live. I want them to live by faith and because they love me and they see it in my word. But yet, some I can't fight that battle like I want to fight it because they don't leave me in a position to do so. Oh, my goodness, Lord. My sepe sopra questo monseling glesto te tarapaschina. Don't let your time slip from you. Don't let your opportunity fade away in the yonder lane And then you said, I wish I would have. I wish I would have. Oh, I want to tell you, you can. Rise up with authority. Take authority over that money. Don't let that money master you. You master that money and make sure you proclaim. Make sure that you see to it that the gospel is proclaimed. And as you take care of that work, I'll take care of you, says the Lord of hosts. My goodness. Yeah, now, Lord, I was just talking to you about it. There are those who desire to tithe, and I know they are. Single or married. Single or married. I'll bless you and place more on you than you can carry. For I'm the Lord of prosperity. I'm the Lord of provision. I'm the Lord El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh. I'm the Lord that will provide. Single or married. Shame in it. Oh, no. Close. Pran. Sombrose. Kose. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Yeah. There are those of you who sit in this very place. Your life will not be the same. Things will begin to change for you because you're beginning to change right now. Spirit of God is working some things in your spirit. Things that you thought you couldn't do, you begin to do them. Places, places you thought you'd never go, you'll begin to go. Because when you get in the flow, you can go. Because I'll see to it that you go. Just bear with me a few minutes here. Yeah, I'm trying to finish this prayer. Sometimes this happened to me, you know. Yeah, now, Lord, those who desire, yeah, there are those who got a burning desire to be tithers, but they start out, but any little checkmate, stop them. And they panic and go back into, I got to do this. No, turn your back on worldly prosperity and turn your way toward godly prosperity and just begin to do what I tell you to do and you'll see the results soon. So I thank you to help them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And some people have been here every night listening, writing notes. Let this be a change in their lives. I want to thank you for it and praise you for it. Glorify you for it. Nino, Nino, Nino Moselepo, Rasikanonde, Brase, Brase. If you do what I say, you'll see that day. My goodness, Lord. Basia. Yeah. Clonso, Lasia. Prasere, Somongle, Stan, die. Yeah, yeah. They see me. Come closer to me. Dive into it and see how sweet and how good it is. And it will pay off if you follow my instruction. Yeah, Lord. Thank you for this night. Change history, the history of the church, and change the financial foundation of the church. Yeah, men and women will rise up who've been held at the bottom for so long by this world system. They will rise up and come into a place of authority and be givers, big givers, to the gospel and to the kingdom. And yeah, you give them more. And men will ask them, how did you get where you are? And they say, the Lord brought me. Yeah, like the old preacher used to say, the Lord brought me from a mighty, mighty long ways. And I'm here because of him. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. My goodness. Oh, my. They're not to be robbed another day, another hour, another second. They're not permit yourself to be robbed by a dime. Loose that dime. Loose that dime and loose it on time. Loose it and let it go and put it in the flow that your finances can increase and that you can be a blessing wherever you go. My goodness, Lord. Lord Jesus, hallelujah.
Dr. Leroy Thompson is the president and founder of Ever Increasing Word Ministries, an outreach ministry of the Word of Life Christian Center in Darrow, Louisiana. For more information on this dynamic teaching ministry, visit our website at www.eiwm.org. or you can write Dr. Thompson at P.O. Box 7, Darrow, Louisiana, 70725.